First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I...
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, April 3rd, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me.
I remember that song. And our guests today are George Brown, the 2.5, from East Tennessee. We have John Richards from across the pond in England. And we have Dread Pirate Higgs from, I think it's Western Canada, isn't it?
Ahoy, yes.
Way over in the west side. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you think you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. In Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. And we'll tell you how we started our group and a little more about the group after the mid-show break, so stay tuned. Wombat, what's our topic today?
We're going to be talking about some bad news for Anglicans, as well as a little bit of RESPECT. Speaking of, how can atheists get some of that respect? And I guess before we get into the full meat and potatoes of the conversation, we're going to throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
Arr! Quab be me, captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt water. He steereth me through glassy seas. He filleth me bowl. He steereth me through straits of noodliness for goodness sake. Aye, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me in the presence of me mates. Thou quenchest my thirst with grog. My goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall abide with me all the days of me life, and I shall dwell in the galley of the Quab forever.
Amen.
Guys, my fight against gray hairs has finally ended. I think I finally found a gray hair inside my ear, and at that point, it's just like there's no hope turning back.
The battle is lost.
You're just accepting them as they come. There's nothing you can do. So
there is something you can do. You know what I do? I claim that I've dyed my head this color, and it's actually called extreme blonde.
Right. Okay, so that's great. Hey, listen, I've heard that there's some bad news for the Anglican Church. Maybe you want to talk about that real quick, John, before we delve into our topic?
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of bad news. In fact, if you watched last night's GAN,
I sure do. How could you miss that?
You would have seen a bit. There's more coming, too. It's interesting what's coming up in the near future. But yes, 53% of the Brits over here have been shown to be non-believers, nuns, as you might call them. You know, not the ladies in wimples, but the N-O-N-E-S type of nuns. And this is now a solid statistic, because it's been tested, polled more than once now. So it's really bad news, especially as the young are the ones who are least engaged with religion.
Right
down to, I think it's about 3% of them profess to be Anglican at the moment. So it's really bad news for the Archbishop of Canterbury and his mates.
Cool. Larry, you're on mute, my friend.
And it's not that it's just 53% versus 47%. It's 53% non-believers versus a fractured belief systems on the other side. Yeah. You may say that... Islam claims a large portion of the fractured percent, but it might be 10% versus 53% non-believers.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, because the young have rejected religion, they're going to get older and replace the upper echelons.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone knows wherever the UK go, America tends to follow. George Brown, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to add that here in the Bible Belt where I live, which is more more Bible Beltish than where this radio program has originated, with, as I like to remind people, there are 167 official Baptist churches. The Episcopal Church happens to be the place where the political progressives are based in my town. So, ironically, I find myself thinking, oh, this is not good news, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want
that John is telling us, you know.
If you want the latest news, this only came out today. A former Archbishop of Canterbury, not the current one, has come out saying that he would like to see the Russian Orthodox Christian Church drummed out of the brownies, because that there is a worldwide club of Christian churches. And at the moment, the Russian Orthodox Church is a member of this worldwide assembly. And he's starting a movement to get them kicked out because, obviously, they have supported Putin. They have not come out against the horrible stuff that's going on in Ukraine right now. Mm. In fact, they have more or less indicated support for it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, really terrible. Dread.
Yeah, just going back to the first item there. In Canada, we just had our census last year, and coming out in October of this year will be statistics related to religiosity,
right?
As that question is only answered every second census or every 10 years. So the last in 2001, when that question was last asked, or 20 years, I guess, 20 years, it was 33% were non-religious here in British Columbia, and I think 25% overall Canada. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see where the numbers lie come October. Mm.
You said you're about 30%. That's about where we were too, looking it up just really quickly. But you know what? I think the thing that's holding us back is that we still associate religion with moral character. And a lot of people will claim to be religious when, in fact, they don't know. They've never even read the Bible. They don't even know. But they'll say it by default, even on a census, just to appear or not to seem like a bad person. And I feel like Larry.
Arthur C. Clarke said that one of the greatest tragedies of mankind is that morality has been hijacked by religion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there's so many more better characters that you can base your morality off of than the Christian God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It unfortunately is almost the case that the Christian devil is actually a better example in a lot of cases. And
in more moral.
Why pass up the opportunity of a flying spaghetti monster when it's like right there for you? Like I see.
Absolutely.
Like, it's so obvious. Guys, listen. So one of the things I've also noted on these census is that it's really hard to get respect, isn't it? Isn't it just with numbers and statistics? And so I'm finding that, you know, culturally, while it seems to be the case that a lot of people appeal to religion to seem like a good person, no one appeals to atheism, at least on the grand scale, to demonstrate their morality. And if you were to ask me one of the coolest ways to demonstrate good character is by showing that I'm not following a strict dogma that has a lot of toxic attitudes against different kinds of people and classism and attitudes towards slavery that are not anti in any sense. And for the most part, I feel like with my atheism, I have an opportunity to not believe in a script and let myself come to my own conclusions. And if you don't see me hurting people, and if you see me actually going out volunteering at our local animal shelter, conducting myself well, trying to stay educated, taking care of my family, then you have a person who's not following a script in order to do that. And I feel like what my atheism enables me to do is demonstrate that I could be a good person without God. And I think that's one of the ways that I like to show or give atheism respect, because ultimately it is just not believing in a God, but I'm showing moral character even without that belief. And I think that's the key for me. I wonder, how do you guys show respect, or how do you think atheism can get more respect and move away from the idea that you're a good person only if you're a believer? I'll throw it up to Dredd first. Dredd, what do you think?
Sure. Well, you know, I also, as a practicing Pastafarian, you know, people, I guess, assume in most respects that that is the same thing as being an atheist, which is fine. I don't really care, but it's pretty much like you say, is, you know, doing, you know, being an honest person, doing good, being a part of the community, and always making sure you declare you're out, right?
Right.
Like, you know, letting people know. And then when they say, well, you know, because I've had people say, oh, you, why do you hate God? Well, like, what happened to you? And, you know, so having those opportunities to clarify exactly what it means to be an atheist, is, you know, not having evidence of something is not the same as hating something, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's about being clear about what it is and then just demonstrating yourself as a good person.
Right. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge ordeal to let someone know you're an atheist. Sometimes I've had people be like, hey, you know, do you go to church? And I'll just say, well, I'm more of a Marvel person. And I think it gets the point across pretty well, too. But like, I tend to do it as like jovial and straightforward as possible so that they understand. And then if they want to have a longer conversation, we can sit down and have a chat about it.
Yeah.
Larry, what do you think?
Yeah, I raised my hand just as Dredd was making the point about being out, coming out. And that's the point I wanted to make, is we need to come out of the closet. We need to be out of the atheist closet, not necessarily loud and proud, but if somebody brings up their religion and asks your opinion, tell them, you know, you don't have to say I'm an atheist. You can say, like I do, I usually say I'm not a religious person. Just let it go at that. If they want to get into more detail, I'm more than happy to. But I think if all of us came out, it would, the sheer numbers of it would then imply that we're normal people, that we're your good neighbors and good coworkers, and it would just go from there.
Yeah. And for those of us that are a little more inclined to be out, it would help other people who are maybe a little more shy or reluctant to, just because they know they're in good company.
Yeah. I don't think we need to make an announcement to those that are close and near to us, just engage in conversations when they come up and don't back down. You're an adult. You have the right to your own beliefs.
Correct.
Don't
or
let
lack of
people
them.
Take that away from you.
Right, exactly.
Correct. Correct. I think the biggest mistake we make with regard to power, the biggest misconception is that we give it up when we can easily just hold on to it. And a lot of people give up their power. So hold on to it, stand fast. And you don't have to do it in an aggressive manner when you let someone know you're an atheist. You can, because you can be confident in your own place where you don't have to make it an argument. And if it's a problem for them, let it be a problem for them, but let them know where you are and then let them have their problem. That's not on you. John Richards, I'm going to throw this out on you. How do you think atheists can get some, I'm going to try to spell it again,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
You got to think of the song. Just think of the song.
Oh,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
There you go.
Such a great song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to pretend that all non-believers are perfect specimens of humanity.
Right.
But respect has to be, first of all, it has to be earned. And then it has to sort of withstand the hatred that's thrown at it by other factions that want to own it for themselves. So I think that the biggest thing we want to do to try and get a higher profile of respectability is to stop these other people from claiming that, you know, we are only atheists because we want to sin. That's not true. We are only atheists because we don't have any morals. That's not true. We're only atheists because we are purposeless. That's not true.
Or that we hate God.
Or we hate God. Exactly. All of that stuff is thrown at us illegally. It's simply not true. And that's what we've got to try and resist. So I'd like to point out that about, I think it's around 95% of the inmates of American jails are Christians.
That's a good
stat. True. That's very true.
Larry, would you like to introduce?
Yeah. Welcome, Electro Live, to the group. Would you like to say a few words just as introduction? I think everybody knows us.
Everybody knows him, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's getting his audio set up. That's all.
Yeah.
But we're happy to have him engaged in the conversation. We're talking about how can atheists get respect. Listen, George Brown, as a New Yorker, as a Brooklynite, you know, respect is a big deal in the streets. Everybody needs to know where you're walking and where people are walking to. It's like a very big deal. But respect as far as religion goes, like, did you ever feel disrespected as a natural born organic atheist?
You mean in New York?
Yeah, New York. And then compared to how your life is in Tennessee now that you're in the Bible Belt.
Oh, wow. You know, in New York growing up, I never gave it a moment's thought. Except one day I was walking down Flatbush Avenue and I passed a man who had a little table full of little tiny Bibles. And he had a sign that said, "Free Bible to any Jew who promised to read it." I thought, what the hell? So I picked up a free Bible. And I mean, that was like my introduction to religion.
Wow.
In a way.
How old were you?
I must have been a teenager, maybe 12, something
like
that.
Wow.
At least that. And so I tried reading the Bible. You know, I thought maybe this will make me feel better about myself, right? Mm. So I started trying. I could not read the thing. You know, I kept falling asleep. Happened every time I try to read the Bible, I can't focus on the thing. So lack of respect, it wasn't an issue. Whereas
where you are now,
I'll tell a little story later, maybe about when I performed in a congregational church and had to put up with being badmouthed by the minister. So,
sure. You know, when I was reading the Bible, or the way how I got my first Bible was my pastor from the church that we were visiting came to our school, unfortunately, to indoctrinate a bunch of kids. My school just let sermons happen on campus. It's a thing. But I was in second grade and I saw him. And I'm like, hey, that's my pastor. I'm going to ask him if I can get baptized just randomly. And he took it super seriously. And then they did this whole baptismal thing like the week, that same week. And they gave me a red Bible that had like a white Jesus on it. I remember he had like a nice little perfectly manicured mustache and stuff like that. And there were pictures inside and it was all just like white, blonde people, blue eyed people, like on crosses and all that other stuff. It was just crazy. And I'm reading this thing and in my head, I'm recognizing like, it seems to me like this God character really, really wants people to respect him, or he'll hurt him, because very first chapter, he drowns literally everybody. And like, he's just killing people left and right. And I was actually really scared. I was so scared that I was afraid to even go to the very last chapter. I remember how terrified I was. And there was a point in my head where I was like, the Bible is very scary and I'd rather have someone tell me what's in it than read it myself. And then I thought that was not good. So I tried reading it and I got bored and it was just like, this is a really hard book to read through.
Yeah.
But you know, I did stomach through it. I've read the Bible twice and both times were just the most displeasurable experience of my life. It was just the most random series of stories. And now that I look back at it, I can't believe that's what the holy books are. Anyway, Larry, what do you think?
Well, it's just, it surprises me when people constantly say that God is love. When if you read his book, you know, his most common interaction with people is killing them.
Right.
Or giving them plagues, which kill them. It's just one after another. Even the guy who tried
murderous
to save,
tyrant.
Yeah, the guy who tried to save the Ark of the Covenant from falling and hitting the ground, he killed him for touching it.
Right. And I want to throw out this story as a counterbalance. My mom always told me like the best way to get respect from people is to earn it, or is like to work towards earning it, not through hurting them. Cause I used to get in fights all the time. We used to be the only black family and I'd be the only black kid and I get in fights all the time. And one day my mom said, Tyrone got in a fight with like three kids today. I'm going to go to his school and I'm going to bring cookies and I'm going to read stories to his class. and I'm going to give out the cookies. And all the kids are going to see me give cookies and read a funny story. And she came on our lunch break as a secretary and did that on three occasions. And afterwards, nobody got angry with me anymore. No one got in fights with me because they all knew my mom and they knew my mom was a nice person. And I'm like, how did you do that? That was so easy. It's just like, Tyrone, you got to earn people's respect. Like, and I'm looking back at the Bible and I'm surprised I didn't really connect the two dots, but here's God being like, respect me, plagues, plagues, this, that, famine, all that stuff.
Or noogies like, forever.
A little bit of cookies, read some good stories and, you know, show that you can be a worthwhile or valuable in your friendship.
Yeah,
John Richards, what's up?
I'd like to suggest that you didn't earn that respect. You bought it.
I didn't pay for anything. Hey, what's up, George Brown? What's up?
Muted. You're still muted. Okay.
He's still on mute.
Should we go out there and bake cookies and put them in boxes? You know, give out atheist cookies.
Hey, you mean that might work? Believe it or not, more cookies are atheists than you might imagine. Anyway, Electro Live, is your audio good? Still on mute. Still on mute. We'll give him another try.
So while you're thinking about that, the latest initiative that Atheism UK is looking at is printing some stickers to go in the inside cover of a Bible, which says any resemblance to people living or dead in this book is entirely
coincidental.
Though I'll say this too, in sciences, so this is always a hot topic, but in the idea that there are a lot of atheist scientists doesn't necessarily make atheism any better, because there's also religious scientists too. But really what's more important is that the scientific process is not dependent on any religious belief, because you have Muslim scientists that can progress science. You have Christian science that can push forward science, but they're all doing it when they don't use the religion.
Right. They're not using religion when they do that.
Right. That's the distinguishing point. It's like when we make advances, maybe that person's religious, but he didn't use his religion or she didn't use a religion to progress science. They were using the scientific method. And I want to say that that should be indicative of what really is the best system
They didn't do their science on Sunday.
Imagine how much further we would have gone and if we saved all those Sundays and actually used them for something useful.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about we do an early break? We can go into listener comments and then tackle some other topics and try to get Electro Live in here for comments.
Electrolyte. Stay tuned right there for the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. And they're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
First time I have read the Bible, it had struck me as unwitty. I think it may start a rumor that the Lord ain't got no humor. Put me inside SSC. Let this super string theory. Hey, 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 hey. Accelerate the protons. I steer it twice and then just at me. Cause I don't read the Bible.
Bible!
Even if they're made of marble or canal free play, I don't read the Bible. I don't trust the Bible. Even if they're made of marble or canal free play, from the maelstrom of the knowledge into labyrinth of doubt, frozen underground, ocean melting, milking on my mind. Give me everything theory. Even if they made of marble or canal's midway, my brothers are
Jesus is in your family. Was your grandma auntie auntie? Was your grandpa Banty Banty? The Yaskin Embassy. Boom! I don't read the Bible.
Bible.
I don't trust the cyber.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002, which puts us in our 20th year. ASK now has over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables. We're usually the loudest, happiest group there. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom ASK meetings. If you can't make it in person or you live outside of town and you'd like to join us, email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com, and we'll send you the link to join us. You can find us online in Facebook, meetup.com, or go to our website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheist. You'll find us that way. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Wombat, where you want to pick up?
I got a nice comment from Dada's Training Room on one of our former episodes. This came from What is Mysticism, which was recorded a few weeks back. He asked, Ty, I still have a problem with how you're defining atheism. What you said basically is, I define atheism as the lack of belief in a God, and that is what atheism is for me. But a theist could say, I define God as the necessary being, and that is what God is for me. Can you see the problem? And I'm like, here's my response. I don't really see a problem with that. I see it as two people defining what a word means to them, and that's totally fine. If someone said, I believe God is this, my immediate response wouldn't be, your definition is wrong because mine's different. Mine would be, well, why do you believe that? What method did you come to believe that's true or not? If you want to have that kind of conversation, we can totally have that. But I'm fine with the words that you choose to use based on your own terms when I ask you, how do you use them? That's basically all I mean when I ask for a definition. Like, how are you using that word and what does it mean to you? Because it's only through that understanding that we can talk at the same level, and instead of forcing my dictionary on you and you forcing it on me. Any other thoughts on that? You guys on that?
If there were specific ironclad rules for words, right, we wouldn't have usage councils.
We want to have four versions of like major popular dictionaries.
Right, and there wouldn't be different dictionaries that have different definitions.
Right.
And they would be reprinting every year with revised.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And I am happy with the idea of someone at least accepting the idea that atheism is a lack of belief in gods. But if they thought it was otherwise, I can at least explain where I'm coming from when I use that term. Yeah. And I would ask them, hey, use my words the way how I'm using them, because that's how I'm trying to communicate with you. And communication is always going to be a compromise and meeting based on the words that we use.
Certainly.
You know, I never understood why people have to force a definition on you. It's like, it should be that they want to know what you actually believe. Like, it doesn't do any good to kind of like say, no, what you really believe is this.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, okay, thank you for that correction. I guess I am wrong. Thank you.
They wouldn't like it the other way around.
Yeah, because the other way wouldn't make a lot of sense for you to.
The way how I feel is it's to set their world narrative. And when you give them a word that doesn't suit their world narrative, then it's like, well, then I have to consider the fact that atheists may have a reasonable position. Like, you've been told that you guys are unreasonable from the get-go. I have to use this bad definition where I start questioning myself. But it's still a conversation worth having. And I think if they aren't willing to meet you on the terms of, these are what I mean with the words that I'm using, what kind of communication could we possibly have otherwise? Oh, I'm frozen? My bad.
It's like a chess game. You know, they're trying to force to a way to win. You know, they're trying to straw man you because they want to win an argument.
Electro Live, I did want to jump back with you. We're talking about how atheists can get respect. What things do you think atheists can do to get some R-E-S-E-S-E-S-E-S-E-M-P-N-C?
All right, Aretha. Yeah, I don't know. I think kindness goes a long way. You know, just be fair. Well, I don't know. Kindness sounds kind of weird, but just be, I guess, for me, I can only speak to my experience. I noticed that if I'm just fair and not argumentative and I'm just accepting what they tell, like you just said, you know, accept people on their own terms and have a reasonable discussion. Don't call them out of their name or don't bring out irrelevant points to try to win or score some kind of emotional, you know, point in an argument or
being petty.
I think that goes a long way in winning respect.
Yeah. I agree. Setting an example is truly what it is. And when you were leaving the truth, when I say truth, I mean Jehovah's Witnesses, did you employ that or did you find that it was difficult to get respect once you were out of the kingdom?
When I got out of the kingdom, obviously the other people that I left, the witnesses didn't really respect that. They didn't respect me. Even my ex-wife at the time, she didn't understand, you know, and I lost a lot of respect in her eyes because she thought, oh, you're not being a real Christian man. You know, you're kind of being weak right now and easily fooled. So I think I kind of lost a little respect from them, but I think I gained a lot of respect from my family and people who really cared about me on the other hand, because I actually stood up for what I believed in at the time and still do.
Good for you.
This isn't the truth and I need to find it elsewhere.
Good for you. Good for you. I know when my mom became a Jehovah's Witness, I found that as a great opportunity to let her know I was an atheist without any baggage, because we were both essentially leaving traditional Christianity at the same time. And I was just like, perfect opportunity. But still, I could tell you there was a moment where I was really scared because I knew about Jehovah's Witnesses as a Christian. And I was like, ma'am, don't do that. I'm going to lose so much respect. But then I also looked at the religion as a whole because of that and was like, you know what? What am I doing here? You know, let me just get out too. So, yeah. Larry, what's up?
Well, I find it funny that he was saying that that once he got out of his religion, the people who really cared for him didn't have that much of a problem with it. But so that kind of not begs the question, but it makes you want to ask what the converse was, that the people in his religion didn't really care for him. And especially once he left it, it was obvious.
Right. And I have no problem getting disrespect from people who don't care about me. It's the people I care about that I don't care about. Right. George Brown, you had a comment?
May I tell a little story?
Sure.
A number of years ago, I was asked to perform in a congregational church. I have been an oboe player, and I loved playing Bach, and it was an opportunity to play Bach with an organ and a singer, an aria from a cantata, which glorifies, of course, God. And so I was performing. We did a very nice performance. And then the minister got into his sermon, in which he badmouthed atheists. So there I was, performing in his church, glorifying his God, and he was putting me down. And by the way, I didn't get paid for this, you know. So I naturally felt rather insulted. And so I'm looking at this, you know, we are the butt of constant propaganda, I think.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering, so that was a lead-in for what I'm going to say. Do we need to start a propaganda campaign of our own to counter the hate speech that we're victimized with?
Yeah. Only in the sense of we need to be more open with who we are and what do we look like.
Propaganda is a loaded word which sends the message that you're not sending the truth.
Correct. Right.
And all we really have to do is just be ourselves and live the life that we
Slow and steady wins the race.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the correction. Thank you. Yeah.
John Richards.
What we mustn't do is behave like them.
Right.
If they're bad-mouthing us, we mustn't bad-mouth them back. And it's a temptation. You know, I've very often been in an argument with some theist, and they've started it. You know, they've been very rude about me. And I've considered, well, okay, you've opened the gates now. You've permitted rudeness, so I'll come back at you with some. Then really, that's not helpful.
No.
So in the exact same sense, how if your goal is to get respect from people, don't target them with more, you know, what's the right word? Mean vitriol. Words, mean candor, virtual. But here's another example of it. If you don't want a guy who's hosting a show to make jokes about your wife's hairstyle, don't go up on the stage and slap him, because now everyone's going to be making jokes about your wife's hairstyle. Like, you got to be able to focus and think about things in the long term. It's very, very, you know, it's very reactionary to want to do that. But it looks better on you when you have a BBC channel and there's a pastor who's just speaking poison about atheists. And you're just like, who is this guy? Anyway, what else am I doing with my life? Right.
Well, I can do that. Hey. I can do that if I'm listening in the car, of course.
Sure. Nobody can hear me.
Right. But I can put this in one sentence.
Oh.
We can't respect people who are disrespectful.
Ooh, very, very cool. Nice.
Something I thought about too. Something that I noticed with a lot of religious people, especially Abrahamic sort of religious people like Muslims, Christians, people like that, is they're constantly seem to be trying to prove that they're intellectual, especially the apologist type. Like they want to appeal to a lot of deep philosophy and a lot of logical arguments, and they even have websites like Reasonable Faith, and you know, really they're promoting this idea that, hey, we're not stupid like you think we are. We're reasonable too. We're smart educated. Too. Mm-hmm. We're very educated. And it mm-hmm. seems like it all, and then the way that they have to sort of like, you know, Ty was saying, you know, they straw man you sometimes. And then other times they try to, you know, say you're arrogant, or you're speaking down to me by comparing it to fairies and comparing it to other imaginary sort of things, which those sort of analogies are just to say we both accept that this particular thing, like a fairy or a leprechaun, is something imaginary. That's what we're doing when we make those sort of comparisons. That's how we look at your God, like it's mm-hmm. imaginary. How do we tell the difference between your God and, say, a leprechaun? Like, are they the same thing or what? And so that comes off as a little insecure, and it seems like they're kind of needy, and they'll even come out and say it. I need God. We need to be saved. We need, you know, so that mm-hmm. it seems like if we were to do that, we would lose all kinds of respect, I think.
I think mm-hmm. so. Dread.
Well, it's interesting. I really like where you were going with that. What I find too is that people tend not to see their own ideas about the universe, like as created by God or whatever. They don't see these things as ridiculous. They see these as perfectly reasonable explanations. And then, but compared to another person's religion that has some other magical aspects to it, they consider it absurd and ridiculous. And, well, how could you believe something like that? And I get that a lot as a pastafarian. Mm-hmm. How could you possibly believe that there's a flying spaghetti monster? That's absolutely crazy. Well, virgin birth, resurrection, those things are perfectly normal. Like, you know, an ark that carries all the animals in the world. Like,
talking
really?
Snakes.
Yeah. Talking snakes, all that makes sense to you? And it does, right? People just don't see their own story as as a fiction. They see it as reality,
and they forget that miracles by definition are supposed to be kind of absurd and kind of non-common, you know.
Right.
That's the whole idea.
if it wasn't, then it couldn't be
a sign of God if it was just your normal everyday thing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. You put bread in a toaster and you got toast. That's not a miracle anymore. Even if
it, it used to be before toasters.
Right.
I did want to add on to what Electrolive was saying, because there is a desire to look like an intellectual, while in the other hand, dismissing comments from intellectuals only when they disagree with the dogma of the proposed or the supposed intellectuals. Yeah. So it's very much cherry picking, but also this performance piece where they demonstrate, oh, I am so smart. We have a smart organization, but anyone who disagrees with us is wrong. And that's a terrible methodology to get to true things. Yeah. I'm also going to say this too. Education is a lot like a gym, right? You work hard at a gym to develop fitness. You work hard in education to get smart. And maybe it's not as obvious when you look at it, but the marker for me that I see, the one that I try to look for to see someone who's effectively educated, is humility. Because the more that I learned, the more I realized I didn't know. And the more I was humbled by the fact that there needs to be experts that study from these different areas that I need to rely on, because they've spent some time getting their expertise from them. And I can contribute with the area of expertise that I am in, which doesn't encompass an entire field of science, but does allow me to have some interesting points that I can offer in my particular perspective. And if we can work together with our own, you know, various levels of ignorance, we can get to something more progressive. And I feel like people who have that sort of attitude are the ones that I respect. And I feel like the same thing can be from religious groups if they were able to demonstrate some humility. But unfortunately, they have this giant, super powerful God, who's their best friend, who knows how everything works and does everything right for them. And they know the answer for everything.
And listens to their prayers.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when
you're awake. It's the least humble thing I've ever heard. So it's very hard for me to get on that bandwagon. John.
The other side of that coin is that if you say anything which challenges their belief system, they then say you're not humble because you're thinking yourself to be more important than God.
You hear that all the time. It's so bizarre. Anyway, Dredd.
So I think an important point is that, you know, being aware of the fact that reason is not natural to humans. It's a skill, just like critical thinking is.
Correct.
It takes practice.
Correct.
And this goes back to your point, is that these things take practice. It's a skill. You have to learn it. You have to practice it, because it doesn't come naturally. And I think there's a part of gaining some respect is demonstrating critical thinking skills.
I love it.
And imparting that. Yeah.
Just on top of that, before we go to George, it's a skill, but it's also not like riding a bike. You can get bad at reasoning if you don't do it for a while. You need to keep doing it. And in fact,
you have to check your biases.
Right.
You know, you have to check your own biases and, you know, heuristics and all that good stuff.
Anyway, George.
So, okay, I'll forego the word propaganda, although I really think that we are living in an age of propaganda and it's very dangerous.
Sure.
Misinformation.
Yeah, misinformation, you know, fake people on Facebook and all this stuff. Would it be advantageous for us to have some sort of a coordinated campaign of, you know, PR for ourselves?
Yeah, my coordinated campaign is everybody come out as an atheist if you're an atheist. And then just continue living your life as normal. And just let people know this is what an atheist looks like. This is what we were firemen, we were doctors, we were nurses, we're childcare laborers. Like, we exist, we're here, and we're not gonna, you know, step aside when someone says, well, these are all Christians, like this is a Christian nation. It's like, no, we're here too. And I guarantee you, similar to how it was in the UK, the more people who speak out, the more are encouraged to speak out as well.
Right.
When I was at my last job, I was one of the first people to just, you know, openly say I was an atheist, because I was gung-ho atheism back then. And I thought I was the only one. But it turned out that once I came out, had people come to me separately and say, hey, I'm also not religious too. I'm also atheist. Until I realized that like it was about 70% of the people I was working with were also atheists. And I just felt so much more nicer knowing that I wasn't alone. But I didn't know that until I spoke up because I assumed everyone was Christian. Larry.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me at work too.
In a country where it's, quote, predominantly Christian, if you don't come out and you don't file your claim as a Christian publicly, then you will be assumed to be Christian,
correct,
even by other atheists.
Mm-hmm. Your and silence hurts right. progress.
Yeah, speak right. up. Exactly.
And maybe that's my PR campaign. Don't fall into silence.
Maybe we should ban closets.
More windows, less closets.
Well, it's interesting. I have a friend. She's an atheist, and this person still has to go to church. And it's like she feels triggered, you know, every time listen to those sermons. But what her fear is the family, real deeply religious, close-knit family. Mm-hmm. And I think she's been an atheist for like 5 years and still hasn't come out yet. Still, and, you know, does all these videos and does all these has her own show, atheist show, part of all these atheist communities, and hasn't been discovered yet, to her surprise. And I guess her thing is, hey, if they find me online doing this, then that might be my out. But I'm scared.
Yeah. If she has the opportunity to go to like a Unitarian church, she can still go to church. I don't have a problem with church. I think it's like I said before, it's basically daycare for adults. But what I have a problem is with religious indoctrination. And so like Unitarians actually roll a pretty good, you know, Sunday bash. Sunday assembly also very good, and those very church-like in its proceedings. So you can find good churches even if you're an atheist. And I don't want to have the word associated with religion all the time. I think like Christians are really good at taking words like chariot, Lord. It's like those words existed before you guys came around. Trust me. I'd rather have nice things belong to just the nice thing bucket rather than be taken by the Christian bucket. And I think
let me ask you this:
what's indoctrination bad? What's up?
Let me ask a question. There's another guy. His name is T-Jump, another friend of mine. He's trying to start an atheist church. What do you guys think about that?
They already have them.
Yeah, we have them.
Go for it. Yeah, they already exist. I'm told.
Sunday Assembly. If you look up Sunday Assembly, you'll see it started in England and pretty much went around the world. There's still a lot of them extant.
I want to jump in on this because I've been wanting to say something for a couple of minutes. To me, the whole church thing feels artificial. And I mean, personally, I'm saying for me, it's irrelevant and a waste of energy. But
your definition is wrong. No, it's that's why we
don't say that. I just wanted to mention, too, I wanted to clear something up that I may have given a misconception during our first half, which is that I never felt any hint of persecution in any way in New York as being an atheist. But I do want to say that New York, in fact, is a majority religious city, mostly Roman Catholic. But I think that because of the great diversity of people, there's a lot of tolerance and a lot of curiosity about everybody else. So that's what I'm saying. In an environment like that, it was just never a concern to me.
Sure. I want,
but there is a lot of religion. I mean, New York, Brooklyn, in fact, was once known as the city of churches.
We have a fear of change as people. And I think what happens is diversity tends to promote or propagate change. And so there are groups that are afraid of diversity because they know change comes with that. It's particularly if they have a very styad point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's part and parcel with a metropolitan lifestyle where you have a lot of different people coming in with a lot of different ideas, that those people will tend to lose their styad dogmatic points of view and be more open to compromise, tolerance, change, just different groups of people. And that will be more so than people who live in the rural areas of towns and stuff like that. And so
it's absolutely necessary to communicate. Is being able to acknowledge and basically put up with other people's ideas about the world. Because right. if you can't acknowledge the differences, there's no way to communicate.
And what we have now is the easiest way to communicate more than we've ever had in any other time or any other generation. And I think that's the key. We don't have to worry about travel anymore. We can now communicate with anyone around the world from a screen or from an earpiece or from our phones that we carry around with us all the time. And I think this is almost done. I think this is the path that we're going to find ourselves on. And the path is religion dying, because essentially we have the ability to exchange ideas faster than religion can keep up with. And so,
however, there's a flip side to that.
Almost done. There's an idea that the more religion bifactures to try to compensate or stick with these old dying ideas, the more it can't keep up with the fast-paced nature of information exchange. And so I'm happy that we have things like internet. I'm happy that we have things like Twitter, TikTok, et cetera, because they're keeping people connected in ways that I think religion is going to have a hard time trying to continue to separate us and to make us into separate tribes. Mm-hmm. George Brown, what's up?
Pardon me. I come from a subculture of interrupters.
Yeah.
What I want to say is the flip side to what you just said, which is that on the internet, people will have a tendency to congregate with other people who have exactly the same beliefs that they do. Mm. And this will accelerate prejudice. So it's a double-edged sword, as I see it. I mean, from where I'm sitting, which is in a very small city out in the boonies, where, fixed thinking and fear of the other is a real big problem.
Echo chambers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I want to ask you, Dread Pirate, where you live in Grand Forks, is it the same in Canada?
Well, in Grand Forks, we have a large Dukhobor population. Dukhobors being a sect of Russian Christians, so they tend to be it's a very religious community here, and very Christian. So yeah, it can be tough.
Sure. John Richards, sound like you had something to say.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to pick up on what Electro Live said. Scott said about Tom Jump wanting to start an atheist church, because I was sort of on the fringes of the origin of the Sunday Assembly organization, because I attended a meeting, a sort of recruitment meeting with a bit of training thrown in which Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans, the founders of the Sunday Assembly, performed on stage and gave us an example of what we could do to replace church with this secular, non-sectarian service. And it was very good. And I didn't get involved in it because the weakness that they had identified in their own construct was they went out initially and called themselves the Atheist Church. And of course, they hit up against the buffers of this a non-appropriate, stereotypical definition of atheism. And that's how it became known as the Sunday Assembly, to get away from that label, that hateful label, which, it's been, the tar has been thrown for such a long time at non-believers. Even before Christianity, there was Gentiles, there was infidels, and all sorts of other victims of the religious.
Yeah.
So if Tom Jump wants to join, to start a branch of Sunday Assembly, I suggest he gets in touch with Sanderson Jones, because Pippa Evans has moved on. She's now more mainstream comedian singer.
One thing that T Jump, and I heard him speak about this kind of extensively on one of his debates or whatever, is that the thing about it is, okay, we look at the good, churches like to brag about, well, if church and religion is bad, then why is it that most of your charities, most of your, you know, humanitarian missions and things of that nature, they come from church. You know, we don't see too many atheists getting out there trying to help the world, do we? But they sure do like to run down religion, which are the folks that are actually out there, boots on the ground, helping the poor and helping the sick and all of these type of things. And so T. Jump's point was, well, you know, there's a lot of problems with that, number one, because maybe there are atheists that help the poor and mm-hmm. you know, provide medicine, for example, like science, you know.
They're just not busy drawing really attention to themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, but yeah. to dispel that whole idea, maybe it would be cool to have an atheist church, so to speak, that provides like low-cost housing for people, that does help the community. And then we can have that other part of it too, the social get together, the camaraderie, you know, the entertainment, everything that the churches provide as well. So you have two of those things to match what the religions are doing. And it's all in the name of normalizing atheism, you know.
Well, maybe you need that in the US, but here, if you associate a charity with a religion, you're not going to make any money. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had what we call a telethon, an evening devoted to raising funds for a good cause. It was called Comic Relief because it starred a lot of comedians who gave their skills free. And you know what? Without a mention of any religion at all, they raised £42 million that night.
Wow, that's a lot of calories.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Dredd, do you have any final words?
Yeah, great conversation. I just wanted to mention that you can find my stuff on my YouTube channel at Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. I live stream this live at 7 a.m. now. Nice. Thankfully, we're going to be switching to this time permanently. I'm also reading, I just read a book or did an audio book called Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar. Okay. And it's by Daniel Martin Klein. And it's understanding philosophy through jokes. It's a really, really funny read, but there's a lot to learn from it.
I want the citation. I want to read this.
It's awesome.
Book.
Yeah.
I want to read this.
And maybe after next week, if I'm on, I'll share one of the jokes after the invocation.
Fantastic. I want to throw out a quick final point. It is a double-edged sword with how information is distributed on the internet, where there's echo chambers. The thing is, we tend to look for the information we want to find on the internet. And so how the internet is currently set up, it will send mm-hmm. you the things that you want to see and continue to show you ads for those things. So it's up to you, as we talked about, to recheck your biases, recheck where you're getting your information from, ask yourself why, and question everything.
Check because your sources.
Otherwise, you'll be asking to walk right into the echo chamber for yourself. It's not the internet's fault. It's still on you to get properly educated effectively. Larry, I think we're getting close to the end. What's up?
I want to say so.
We've got 1 minute. We'll do it after the show. What's up, Larry?
Well, my content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject of atheism. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes. And you can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, you can find help at recoveringfromreligion.org. Thank you for joining us on the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, you can find this show on Apple iTunes, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and podcasts everywhere. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Ramen.